What up, what up?
What's up, Roman?
You got the hallelujah on repeat.
That's right.
Hopefully you all are doing good.
We are here.
Welcome, Forward Producer,
welcome.
Podcast, show, whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
Hopefully you all are doing great out there. It's still hot.
Welcome to the pod.
Welcome to the...
Dude, it's 100 degrees.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Let's not even talk about AC problems.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Are you having any AC problems?
I have a new house, so.
Dude, at around 95 degrees, my AC starts
struggling.
And if you think about it, it's because it's trying to blow cool air in those pipes that are in a 100, probably 120 attic.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
how old is your house?
Yeah, it's older. It's probably like 10, 15 years.
I guess the insulation standards have changed a little bit.
Yeah, if you have a new house, you probably have spray foam insulation.
Yeah, probably. You? I don't know, but... Yeah, the insulation is good. Our house stays cool.
Come on.
Our power bill's gone up just a little bit, which... We run it cold at night. We run it like 68, 69.
You have spray foam insulation.
Probably.
We don't.
And my wife, I can't stand it, but it's something she has to do. If she's staying at home with the boys and working and doing her stuff, she'll leave. We have the little back door always open if they go outside.
Yeah.
So we just leave the back door open so that, you know.
All the air's blowing out.
Air's going out. They were cooling off the world, I guess. But it's all good. You got to do what you got to do. I married a hustler, so she's hustling.
That's right. Yes, she
working,
is.
Cooking, all the other. She does a lot, so I don't blame her for opening the door.
Yeah,
I would do the same probably.
Well, there you go.
But hopefully you all aren't too hot.
That's right.
Hopefully you got some good air conditioning.
Please.
This episode is called Tips to Successful Touring, continuation on our touring series.
It's a big topic.
The big topic. If you want to make some funds quick, not necessarily easy, but if you want to make some funds, touring is the way to go. We'll talk about it. Before we jump in, make sure you go and check out forwardproducer.com/ISP. Industry Standard Productions. It's completely free. Go check it out.
And it's been helping a lot of people.
Helps a lot of people are getting it, picking
That's
it up.
Right.
Don't be left in the dust. Don't be left behind.
Check it out.
It's going to do a lot of good work for you because, you know, it's just tips and tricks how to be better at our craft. So go check it out, forwardproducer.com/ISP. This week, we're actually going to talk about a limiting belief.
Mm-hmm.
All this is going to be along the same lines of touring.
Yep.
So we've heard it said touring is hard and it's only for big artists.
That's right.
Is that a limiting belief, Ray?
For sure. In fact, one of the articles that I'd read just this week, just, you know, numbers-wise, yes, the music business is growing globally. But what more and more people are finding out is that there's a fans are wanting more local artists.
Yeah, since COVID, it's like
right, exactly. It's like you know they want to hear music in their own language. They want to hear music from you know people in their neighborhoods and cities. So there's a big opportunity right now. Even if all you do, you're just acoustic vocal and that's it. Man, you can set up a little tour of clubs in your area, you know what I mean? Or if you have a city that's maybe 2-3 hours away, like for us, Dallas would be just 2.5 hours away, or San Antonio.
Waco.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Waco and San Antonio are about an hour, hour and a half.
Yep.
So just things like that, situations like that, more and more, the numbers are showing more and more people are wanting that type of entertainment.
Yep.
You know, live and being on tour.
Yeah, I think
so. It's a great opportunity.
For sure. I think also with like when it comes to touring, you don't have to be a huge production like what we talk about.
Right.
But what we talk about will help you be professional.
Yes.
Whenever it does come to your touring, because if you contact the venue and it's like, oh, you're just going to come with your guitar and acoustic, this person probably hasn't done much.
Uh-huh.
But if you use some of the stuff we're talking about, like a writer or, you know, expectations or blah, 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 and you handle yourself professional.
Yep.
People are going to say, okay, they mean business. Let's do something.
For sure.
So I think it's a little bit easier. But, touring is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
There's
the
no
hardest.
Question. Right.
But you don't have to be a huge artist to do it.
No, you don't.
For sure. I've known plenty of bands that have just set up their own tours. They were their own managers and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They rented a van.
Uh-huh.
They rented a trailer to attach the van, and they would go on like maybe a 2-week tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Out in the West Coast
area.
They
probably have to call and set it up themselves.
Yep.
all that stuff.
Planned it all ahead.
But like y'all, even the big guys, William Morris, CAA, they want to see you do that for a year or two.
They want to see some hustle.
They want to see you do it anyway. Like this is one artist that I've been talking to. Man, she has been hustling for the last 2 years. She calls, acts like she's the manager on the phone, like all those little tips and tricks she does. And she does, y'all, about 200 dates a year.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So on her own.
And if people think about getting signed to a big label or whatever.
Yeah.
They
want to see that.
They want to see it because they're not going to invest in someone that doesn't have hustle and grind.
Exactly.
Because that's a waste of their money.
Exactly.
But if they see that, like, okay, they got something going on.
Yeah, they got it.
I think the days are coming to an end or they're already gone where, like, a big record label just sees potential in someone that hasn't really done much. And they're like, let's go for it. Or if it's a plant, side note.
Yeah. Well, they're going to want to see some kind of songwriting for sure and then some kind of hustle on the touring side.
Yep.
For sure.
So... hopefully that breaks off your limiting belief of touring being hard and it's only for big artists.
It's limiting.
That's kind of like, it's limiting. We'll get into our main talk here. So the first point is going to be ensure logistics and technical requirements.
That's big.
And we could just say one word.
What?
A rider.
A rider. That is what you need. Because that will have everything in it. It has all the times that you have to be there. It tells the promoter what you need as far as PA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it tells the promoter what you need as far as any kind of catering, you know, all that kind of, all those types of things.
Yeah, what stuff should be provided by the venue.
Exactly.
What stuff you're bringing to make sure it flows smoothly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the rider is huge. Even if you're just touring by yourself and it's little, hey, sending these technical specs out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need this type of mic. You know, well, not even.
You don't need it's what do you guys have.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, what does the venue have?
Yep.
Most of them are going to have SM58 or something like that.
That's exactly.
You know what to expect. If you have your own special mic, bring your own special mic.
Yeah, and just doing that little bit of work, even on the smaller tip, just that little bit of work will help organize your event so much better for both ends, for the promoter and for you. It'll be a much enjoyable experience for everybody.
Yeah, I know being on like a tour and going to a place that's more of a relational place, doing it in the Christian industry, I guess if it's industry or Christian world of touring, some stuff's done on a relational base and it's like, all right, I know you, cool, we're going to come and do this.
Yeah.
And then you show up and the rider may not have been handled the same way if it was someone that's new.
Right.
So sometimes you'll show up and you can show up at the typical time like you do whenever the rider is in place.
Right.
And you'll show up and you're like, oh, there's a lot more work that's going to be involved with setting up. You know, there's no bass amp. There's no monitor.
Right.
There's this sort of sound system that's whatever. Oh, it's a volunteer sound person. Oh, there's no monitor mixer. You know, just different stuff that comes up.
So would you guys, so in the touring world, we call it advancing the show. Would you guys do the advancing?
Us as the band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like... not all the situation. There was some one-offs that would happen. It's like that would happen. We're like, oh, we don't really know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
We literally, this could be a funny story, but I'll just say it now.
Yeah.
We showed up to a church and they just had the stage.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
And we were set to do music in an hour and a half.
They didn't tell you? Like,
we thought you guys were bringing the equipment.
Yeah, we're see, like, that's what, like doing proper advancement. Advancing the show is huge. So typically, the minute the contract is signed, typically you send out the rider, right? But then there's a checkup phone call at 3 months, checkup at about six weeks, and then typically 2 weeks out, and then the day before.
Oh, you know how like the charismatic movement rolls with Christian world and industry. It's like, we're going off a feeling. You're my friend. I know you from someone else. Let's do this. And you just trust, like, okay.
Even if you're by yourself as an artist, and you should advance your show. In other words, you ought to call.
That's why they're listening to this now.
That's right.
You know what not to do.
You should call and no less than 1 to 2 days prior just to have a conversation with the production guys.
Yeah.
Right. At the very minimum, it's best to send a rider and then a consistent follow-up phone calls, periodic phone calls.
Yeah.
That will help a lot.
But luckily, we that specific situation, we made it work. I guess this church was meeting inside of another church.
And that's
like, we have a closet of equipment.
Good.
So we had a...
Haul it out.
Everyone on the deck. All right, we're putting it up here, blah, 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 blah. We had to set it up, and we got started late.
Let's go.
Because we were still getting stuff set up, but...
No sound check, really. Do. Let's go.
Exactly. But you know what? The people were happy.
There you go.
I wasn't as happy, but we knew. We learned, so...
Roman was upset.
It is what it is, which leads us to the tour manager role, which is our next point.
That would have been. Because he's responsible to do the show advancing.
Yep. That's In our situation, we didn't really have it. It was just like some, you know, when you're...
So
when
were
you're not
you the, tour, the de facto tour manager?
No, I was responsible for more of the writer side and the merchandise.
Right.
But that's how it was. Is like we all wore multiple hats.
I've had to be a tour manager a couple times. So,
give us some game on the role of a tour manager.
The big thing, you know, at the end of the day, the tour manager is responsible to get the artist on that stage at the gig. Right. Mm. That's the big thing. But if you take that out a little bit, he's responsible for the tour in general. So he hires everyone. He doesn't do the routing. The booking agent normally does the routing, but he's the one helping, you know, all the routing, you know, how are we going to get from point A to point
B? Yeah, what highway we're going to take to get there.
Exactly.
Not be past
when
the 8-hour
thing.
Right.
When's the crew leaving? When's the artist leaving?
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of thing. The tour manager handles all logistics related to the tour.
So in some people's, like if we're... This is at a high level. You're talking about having a tour manager, which is great. If you're new to it, you may have to wear that hat.
You might have to.
So that's why you need to take heed to what we're saying about making sure what time you're leaving, what time you get there. Some people I know, they will fly by themselves and they will handle logistics like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know, like, what time is my flight?
Right.
What time do I need to leave to get ready and all that?
There's a lot of artists, let's say B or C level. I hate to categorize like that, but I don't know how else to do it. But, you know, you'll be able to afford a tour manager, but then they'll also double as your audio engineer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands out there like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they do have some budget. Let's say they're making $1,500, $2,000 for the show. They'll walk away with at least $1,000, and then they'll pay
the manager, tour.
The crew people. Mm. You know, a little crew of two or three, about $1,000. You know, total. Yeah.
That's on the smaller end.
That's on the small. I find that a lot. There's a lot of bands at that level right there,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, it's better than being by yourself.
Yeah,
you know
having the manager.
And
you can
rotate drivers while you're driving in your van.
Or do you think about too, like as an artist. You want to be creative.
Uh-huh.
And for me personally, I don't know about you, maybe other people, but like if you are bogged down by like logistical stuff and whatever stuff of life that could be handled and delegated, your creativity feels a little more capped.
Right. So, I just thought about this. So what's the bare minimum crew that you would want to travel with?
That I would?
Yeah, bare minimum.
What's the budget is the real question.
I don't know. Like $2,000. Let's say
$2,000 a day?
No. For the show.
For one show.
One show, they're going to pay $2,000.
What would I, like if I was a main artist?
Yeah. Like who, what would you
want
to do?
I would want to travel with someone.
In order to execute that at a good level.
I would want to travel with one other person.
Yeah.
A dude.
At least one other
person. Yeah, because... One, like we have Christian beliefs and moral principles of like being accountable.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not a fan of going by myself unless having someone with me. But also,
Do by yourself in the city that you live in.
Yeah, if you're just driving out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, your family's probably going to show up.
But if you're on tour, like a two-week
tour. You fly out somewhere.
Tour. That's right.
Yeah. I would go with someone, have them delegate a lot of the stuff. I would have them run sound.
Okay, run sound.
And do tour management, like you're saying.
Okay, tour management, right. Okay.
That'd be perfect. Like, I know how to do sound and all that stuff, but it's just better.
Yeah.
Like you and I, if you did it.
Yeah.
You'd be like, hey, Rome, you want to come out? Perf, we got it. We're bros. We'll go out. We know we can handle what we need to handle.
Right.
It's cool.
All right, cool. Yeah, I agree. I would do the same. Like, if I was the main artist, well, I would probably want two people out. So, tour manager / front of house engineer. And then, like, a lighting person that's also slash merch and assistant and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If I had those two.
Yeah, if it's just you.
And it's just me on guitar.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know I'm the fan of like, I'd rather take more money back.
What do you mean?
Like, I would rather keep more money not having a lot more people. But in that case, you're talking about merch.
Right.
Merch is going to bump you up.
Exactly.
So that person's easily justified bringing them as part of adding a lighting person or whatever.
Right. And then what you said earlier, because you're right. If it's just you or one other person, the promoter, whoever might think, hey, these guys are new. They don't really know what they're talking. But if you bring a sound dude and even a lighting to make the presentation even just a little bit more
presentable. Someone to run like pro presenter or something.
Exactly.
Depending on the venue.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's so many cool tools now that you can do that are low cost, but do have a big impact on the presentation.
Yep.
It's huge.
Yeah, I know, like coming from the church tour.
Yeah.
Whatever that's called, a lot of the venues would provide merch people.
Uh-huh.
Like if that was handled right, the writers handled right, they're in communication. Hey, are you guys bringing products? Yes, we are. Okay, we have a handful of people that could work the table for you. Like it was rare that I would have to work the table.
Now, hey, here's another thing you could do.
Put us on game, right?
Another configuration is just, okay, have just a tour manager / sound guy. But then go ahead and have a small band, like drums and then an auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they do double duty.
Yeah, they could do it.
Right, so one of them will do merch, another one will help and run, let's say, the lighting rig from the stage, which you can.
Oh.
Right. So
you want to put them on another nerdy level of game.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, you can run tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
You can run tracks off of Ableton or what other ones. We've been using a lot more of playback, which is multi-tracks. Shout out multi-tracks, Razor Founder. Hey,
come on.
So you can run your tracks, which connect to their
lighting rig,
video feed and their lighting rig.
Yeah.
That will trigger, boom, 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 each section of your music.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Like I said, there's so many cool new tools now that can level up your presentation game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have like a couple of guys that are your band members, but also know that kind of stuff and they can handle some merch.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, that would be a tight 1, 2, 3, 4 man team.
That's like what I did.
That'd be great.
We had.
That would be awesome.
Keys, who also was the lead singer, bass player, electric player, and drums.
Yeah.
That was our thing. And I would handle what I would handle. And then sometimes the guitarist would be the tour manager role.
Yep.
Sometimes it'd be the lead singer.
Sometimes it's the drummer.
Sometimes, yeah. But yeah, that's a cool, nice little.
Yep, exactly.
You know, you got to think of the logistics, which we talked about.
Yeah, for sure.
So the last one we're going to talk about is connect with your audience. I think this goes to say before and after, and during and after.
Yeah.
But you should always connect with your audience and help, you know, nurture those people.
Yeah, big time.
What are your thoughts on that, Ray?
Yeah, for sure. And then mainly, you know, that's done with social media. So having a great plan.
Or your email list.
That's right.
Or your text list.
Yeah, having a great plan going into the tour. During, like, you know, make sure you get all your fan photos. And listen. A lot of the artists that, like, you know what? It was, I'm actually good friends with Taylor Swift's first manager. His name is Rick. And Rick tells a story that he was talking to Taylor, and, you know, hey Taylor, how many records do you want to sell? And she said, I want to sell platinum. I want to sell 1 million records. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Then what we need to do is go shake hands with 1 million people. And so, listen, don't walk out of that venue without shaking everybody's hand.
It's good.
Connecting, taking time to connect with the fans. Let those other people tear down, you know, whatever, or wait till you have to tear down. But at the show, you're there to entertain them and connect with them. So you will gain so many fans just shaking hands with every person that you know.
Yep.
At those shows. So.
And that's, I mean, if you don't have an audience, you don't really have a tour.
And most of the artists that I've worked with, they all feel the same way and have done that very thing. Shake everyone's hand.
Yep, your audience is the lifeblood.
That's right.
Because you're not necessarily making a ton of money off of your music and far as streams and stuff.
Not initially, for sure.
But This is the way I heard it said. If you have, let me make sure I can get it right so it's feasible. If you have, let's say you have 1,000 fans. Mm-hmm. If you have 100 diehard fans that will pick up $100 merch bundle from
yes.
you.
Yes, yeah.
That's how much of that, $10,000?
Yeah.
So your fans are going to be your lifeblood. Exactly. So
and then, you know, nowadays what I would do too is have Patreon subscription mm-hmm. sign-ups, you know. At the,
early release at on the, stuff.
All of that stuff.
Yep.
For sure. Hey, that's, support me at $5. Come to my show, shake my hand, support me, you know, sign up for Patreon here at $5 a month. And go for it.
Yep. That's and just give them some
that
incentives.
That would be huge right there.
This
that's
could be
a big
our
game
that could
right
be
there.
Next week's podcast.
Right.
Talking about just nurturing marketing. Your audience.
Exactly.
But yeah, hopefully you all enjoyed it. Ensure logistics, technical requirements led us into the role of a tour manager and then connecting with your audience. There's yeah. a lot to cover with connecting with the audience. We could plan on doing it next week.
Yeah.
But I have a story.
Oh, come on.
Related
bro.
To touring.
Yeah.
And just something to be mindful of. And it's funny and it's kind of stressful.
Yeah.
So we did an event into Canada and we flew out and it's like it was when we lived in Dallas at the time, but it was like a 4-hour flight.
Canada.
Canada. Yep. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't say where we flew in because the story is kind of, we'll see how far it gets. So we fly in and we go through customs yeah. and we have all of our gear.
That's a pain.
And we know you have to, I don't know exactly how you're supposed to claim instruments, but we claimed it as tools. I'm not exactly okay. sure. Maybe we claimed it wrong. But we had a big old, we came with all of our stuff that we needed to tour with.
Yeah, because you have to claim anything over 10 grand, right? So all that stuff together was way over 10 grand.
Yeah, I think that's where we messed up. We didn't know the exact value. So we come through customs and the dude that was working with us, I don't know how else to say it.
He's the tour manager?
No. He's the guy from Canada.
Oh,
in customs.
Okay, yeah. Immigrant.
So he's like, he was mad for some reason.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we're just touring. Here's our dates. We're heading to this, blah, blah, blah. You know, the stuff they want to know.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what about all this equipment? We're like, well, it's instruments. He's like, we may need to confiscate this. He was mad. We're like, what? And he's like, and how much is all of this worth? And then he literally said this, how much is all this worth? And remember, I know how much it's all worth. literally. God. Maybe he was having a bad day. He literally said this. And we're like,
well, then why do you need me to tell you?
Exactly. We're like, we had to like come up with it, like, I don't know, whatever we said.
Each thing individually, I'm sure, was less than 10 grand. Like, well, at least coming into the United
individually
States.
Individually stuff, nothing we traveled with was 10 grand.
Right.
The most was probably like 2 grand, like a nice guitar or whatever.
Yeah, or like if you had a keyboard rig.
We didn't travel with the keyboard. Then we had pedal boards, cymbals, snare, merch.
Like expensive guitars are $1,500 to $2,500.
Yeah, that was the most expensive thing.
All right, then that's under your 10 grand limit.
Yeah, it was.
Of course,
just,
that's how it is in the States. I don't know what it is going to Canada. Maybe you have to claim it less.
Maybe the value's different.
I don't know.
This
so
dude
how did it end?
This dude had a bad day. He was like, wait here.
Barney Fife Spirit is what I call it.
Bro, he's like, wait here. I'm going to go talk to whoever.
So
we had to sit there. Yeah. And just wait for like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes.
Just sit there and immigration.
Our ride, I think, was out there. The one picking us up. I don't remember if we had a rental, but our ride was out there. We're just waiting.
Yeah.
We're like, well, hopefully they don't confiscate this stuff or send us back.
Now,
see
look,
how they do that.
A little tip right here. The tour manager
should have
sorted that out.
But like I said.
Before you got there.
Our situation was a little different.
Yeah.
But. Okay. Yeah, we waited there. Finally,
yeah,
he came out. He's like, "Okay, you guys are good to go." We're like, okay,
"Thanks,
God bless."
Get some poutine and go.
Sheesh, but yeah. So that's something. That's exactly what you're pushing the point home of either having a tour manager or taking on the role and understanding what is involved with it.
If your artistry has and your fan base has risen to the point where you can tour, then you need a tour manager that has a lot of experience like that.
Yeah, because traveling is stressful.
It's stressful.
Straight up.
Yeah.
So having someone that could delegate and take on some of the roles, that makes it less stressful.
Listen, like nowadays, especially like I mentioned at the very top of the show, the music business being more global. Hey, what if you get invited to go to Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get invited to go to Africa?
You're going
to
need a passport if you're in the States.
You're going to need a passport. Right. You're going to need to hire people that have international experience for sure.
Yeah, and I think with especially most artists that I've met and worked with,
yeah,
they tend to lean more on the creative, I don't know what other term to say other than airheaded side.
Sure.
I guess that's maybe it's their personality.
Maybe.
They just forget the small detail stuff. I don't know exactly what that's called. Airheaded is lack of a better term, but a lot of them lean towards that side of not really into the details and organization.
And I get that because I'm not an ultra detail guy. Mm. I'm a pseudo detail guy. I'm much more big picture and think strategically.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to hire people.
Details.
Get the detail people around you.
Yeah.
That's what you really need to know your weaknesses as an artist and then hire your strengths.
Yeah, I think it also depends on the location you're going. Like if you're getting booked to go to Europe, you're probably not going to you're making more than your local pub or whatever.
Correct.
So that funds could go into having someone for that situation come out.
Yeah, you can pay someone a couple $100 a show to do that.
Yep, for sure, for sure.
Boom.
Well, before we sign off, make sure you go check out forwardproducer.com/ISP. May need to bust out another free thing talking about touring because touring's a big topic.
We can make it.
We want to help y'all make some money. So go check it out, forwardproducer.com/ISP. Maybe it'll be updated soon to be industry touring production. I don't know.
Yes,
But go check it out. And if y'all could, like, share, comment, subscribe, rate. I mean, if you hate what we're talking about, let us know.
Let us know.
We don't mind. We can take it.
And let us know what you
debate
want
us in the comments. We get a lot of debates.
Come on.
On our YouTube channel, we had very controversial topic with Jed talking about the U-87.
Ooh.
People are going both sides of the spectrum, Ray.
They got upset.
You love to see it. That's talking about the AT-2020.
I got some private DMs on that one.
Yeah, so if you...
What do you mean?
Let us know. If we're not, and the funny part is we didn't really say that. Jed said it.
Right.
And we're just sitting there. And what he said was not even what people are debating about. U-87's better. Like, he didn't say the mic is terrible. He just said
he'd rather do this. Right.
But let us know. Take all your anger out in the comments if you want. We don't care.
That's right.
But please go like, share, comment, subscribe, all of that stuff. It'll help us out so much. Thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Peace.